can't love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind if I balk at what He gives me to do.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about diligence. I had some other wonderful illustrations that I wanted to give you of diligence in the animal world. And one of them was something that my husband and I learned when we were visiting the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia. The marine biologist who was on board the little boat that we were on told us that we could keep our eyes open when we got down underneath with our scuba diving equipment or with our snorkels, and we might see a long line of fish apparently waiting in a line for something. And you will look at the head of the line, she said, and there will be a cleaning fish. That's right. That's what she said. He's in the business of cleaning the other fish. He cleans off the parasites and the dead scales and I don't know what all. And they actually line up. When we were in Kenya in December of 1991, we saw the yellow-billed oxpeck, which is a bird that does a great service to large animals like the Cape buffalo. It's a little bird that jumps around on the Cape buffalo's head, picks parasites out of its eyes, actually goes practically into its nostrils to pick out whatever needs to be picked out there, and will go into the mouth of a hippopotamus and pick its teeth. Amazing. These are what are called symbiotic relationships. The oxpeck needs the Cape buffalo, and the Cape buffalo needs the oxpeck. In Ecuador, I remember when we had army ants that would sometimes come through occasionally. We would have literally hundreds of thousands of ants that would arrive in a very neat line, maybe 10 ants wide, 6 or 8 inches wide. Well, that'd be a whole lot more than 10 ants, wouldn't it? I never counted the number, actually, in the width, but they would come for hours and move straight through the house. Well, it's rather frightening the first time that happens until you learn that the thing to do is you move out when the ants move in, and what they will do is clean out all the other bugs in the house. And when the ants decide to leave, there will be no bugs left. But higher than those creatures, higher than the bees, the ants, the cleaning fish, the yellow-billed oxpeck, is mankind, you and me. And you and I are called to work in order to live. But much more, we are called to work with, for, and through the Lord God Omnipotent Himself, through a willing offering of ourselves to His service, as did Mary. Mary, the one to whom the angel came to announce that she was to be the mother of the Son of God. She faced an unknown, mysterious destiny. She was called to do and to bear things that she had not done or borne before. She didn't know what all the future requirements would be, the suffering. But she was ready at once, a response that resulted from a heart at leisure from itself. I pray that the Lord will give me a heart at leisure from myself, a habit formed through countless, nameless acts of obedience, conscientious obedience. Isn't that what you want? What an example Mary sets for us. I want to follow that one. I pray for that, and I pray that God will lift your sights today from that desk, that workbench, that sink, that laundry, the tables that you wait on in that restaurant, that prison cell. Remember that you share God's essential nature. If you want God in your life, if you receive Him and respond to His grace. In Colossians 3:23, we read, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Maybe you'd want to write that down on a little piece of paper and put it up over your workplace. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And you prisoners who have become Christians in prison, and I get many letters from you, you might think to yourself, well, all I'm doing is serving time. No, once you belong to Christ, whatever you're doing, you're serving Him. Is it possible to serve God while you serve time in prison? Yes, I really believe it is. I've spoken often to you about making an offering of all that we do, but the way to pull the rug out from under the genuineness of that offering is to make a fuss about it, to grumble, to murmur, to complain, to argue. If we want to shine for Jesus, if we want to do our work in a way that will please Him and not grieve Him, then we must do it gladly, not murmuring, not complaining, not arguing. And we must be willing to do ordinary work. Oh, but I'd like to do spiritual work, we say. Is there such a thing? I don't think there is any such a thing as spiritual work, except spiritual work is that which is done by a spirit-filled person. So it doesn't make any difference whether the work is so-called spiritual or whether it's grubby work. If we do it for God, it becomes spiritual work. And it's not an extraordinary spirituality that refuses to do ordinary work. It's rather a very thinly disguised wish to prove that I'm not just anybody, I'm somebody, and I'd like you to take note of that. I'm special. Well, we're not special, are we? God has given us work to do of one sort or another, and it matters how we do it. All the work that we do. We are set apart for Christ. Every task is an opportunity for developing strength of soul. Every trouble is a task. Let me read you what someone else has said about that. George Hodges wrote, "Every trouble is an opportunity to win the grace of strength. Whatever else trouble is in the world for, it is here for this good purpose, to develop strength. For a trouble is a moral and spiritual task. It is something which is hard to do, and it is in the spiritual world, as in the physical, strength is increased by encounter with the difficult. A world without any trouble in it would be, to people of our kind, a place of spiritual enervation and moral laziness. Fortunately, every day is crowded with care. Every day, to every one of us, brings its questions, its worries, and its tasks, brings its sufficiency of trouble. Thus, we get our spiritual exercise every day. Every day we are blessed with new opportunities for the development of strength of soul. I can't love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind if I balk at what He gives me to do. I must love Him, love His will, love His choices for me, love His daily assignments, love what He has given me to do and the conditions in which I must do it. Some of you must do all your work in the condition of pain. I can hardly even imagine what that's like. I can try, but I feel pretty sure that God has to give you a special measure of grace for what looks to me like a very specially difficult task." Walter Chizik was a man in a Soviet labor camp. He did grueling and often meaningless work in the bitter cold, and he did it diligently for the love of God. He said, "Up until now, I had always seen my role, man's role, in the divine economy as an active one. Up to this time, I had retained in my own hands the reins of all decisions, actions, and endeavors. I saw it now as my task to cooperate with His grace, to be involved to the end in the working out of salvation. God's will was out there somewhere, hidden, yet clear and unmistakable. It was my role to discover what it was and then conform my will to that and so work at achieving the ends of His divine providence. I remained, in essence, the master of my own destiny. The situations themselves were His will for me. What He wanted was for me to accept these situations as from His hands. Now remember, this is a man in Russian labor camp, cruelly tortured, practically starved to death, working in thin clothing, in bitter cold, accepting these situations as from God's hands, letting go of the reins and placing myself entirely at His disposal. He was asking of me an act of total trust, allowing for no interference or restless striving on my part, no reservations, no exceptions, no areas where I could set conditions or seem to hesitate. He was asking a complete gift of myself. Let's pray. Father, help us today, whatever our situation, whatever the conditions of our work and our lives, help us to give ourselves utterly to You, to accomplish the work that You have given us to do cheerfully, faithfully, diligently, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.